Hi, everybody. This is Joel Whitaker, editor of Cane's Beverage News Daily, and we are really excited today because we have a whole different expert interview from anything we've ever done before. We have Brad Wolfington, who is the general manager of the West Virginia Great Barrel Company, and they're a relatively new business out in Greenbrier County, West Virginia. So good afternoon, Brad, and how are you?
I'm doing well. It's actually Brett, B-R-E-T-T.
Brett. I'm sorry, B-R-E-T-T, I'm sorry. Okay, so tell us a little bit. First of all, where is Greenbrier County? Is that where the Greenbrier Hotel is located?
It is. Actually, our cooperage is located just about a mile from the front door of the Greenbrier.
Oh, that's exciting stuff. So that's good. So that helps us identify a little bit where it is. So tell us how this this cooperage came to be. What was the incentive for starting it?
Well, there's an interesting story behind the cooperage. It goes back a few years. In 2016, this region was devastated by a flood. It's a small community in the mountains here, and the flood took a number of lives and left a lot of people homeless. And the founders of this company at the time kind of banded together to lead the effort in rebuilding homes for people who had lost them. They made a really positive impact here in the community. But as they were finishing that project, they realized that the community had already been suffering even prior to the flood, and it needed economic development in order to continue to grow, continue to prosper. And so they looked around for a bit. At dinner one night, one of our founders was meeting with one of the founders of Smooth Ambler Distillery, which is located nearby here. And they were commenting on the fact that they'd just been bought out by Pernod Ricard, and were being asked to increase production, but they were already on allocation for the barrels. And thought it was kind of crazy that the wood for making barrels, you know, a lot of it's grown right here in Greenbrier County or in the surrounding area. It gets shipped down to the south to be made into staves, and then back into Kentucky or Ohio to be made into barrels, and then shipped right back here. And not a lot of value was added here in West Virginia. And that was kind of the aha moment where our founders realized that this was a great opportunity. Here we are with, you know, a location right in the middle of some really prime white oak stands, nearby distillery with some interest, and an opportunity to create good jobs for people in the community. And so they spent a couple years building the business plan, gathering money, and executing it. And here we are today. We started a full operation in March of this year and have been ramping up since. You know, we employ nearly 100 people directly, many more indirectly. And so far, you know, all indications are that we're going to be able to achieve that dream of bringing great economic prosperity to this community.
That would be really terrific, because that's something that's desperately needed, not only in Appalachia, but also in other parts of the country. And, you know, it seems to me that having your supplier close to you is a smart move for an awful lot of businesses, and you know, I just don't understand how we got into this convoluted supply chain system that we're in
absolutely.
But, you know.
You know, what's great about this area is we're not only in a very good position to supply distilleries up and down the East Coast and all the way into the South, but we're close to Kentucky as well, so we're close to the bigger distilleries there. But we're very close to all the, you know, really prime white oak. And in barrel making, one thing you'll often hear is that tight grain barrels make better whiskey and often better wine, better spirits. And so the area that we're in here is renowned for its plentiful tight grain white oak, owing to the mountains, the high elevations, the cooler weather here. And so we have access to not only great natural resources, but close access to the distilleries, and then access to a wonderful talent pool of labor here. We were really pleasantly surprised at the reaction that this community had. We've been able to easily hire just wonderful people to come work at the cooperage. And this is a very advanced cooperage. This is really like nothing else on earth to operate the equipment here. It's not the same as you might find in some more rudimentary craftsmanship style places. This is really a high-tech industry And what we're doing here, it requires an advanced skill set.
Yeah, I was looking at a video about your cooperage, and it seemed to me that it was really something quite different than what I've seen videos from other places where they've done that. It just seemed to me like it was quite advanced and quite different. And I remember seeing part of it was that you had a system where instead of lighting a fire within the barrel, you did it with infrared technology. So I'd like to hear a little bit more about all this advanced stuff, because it certainly seems that you're very, very different from the standard operation.
Yeah, well, we pride ourselves on creating very good, very safe jobs for people here. And there's a number of reasons why we set out to develop such an advanced cooperage. One of those is safety. Cooperages are traditionally somewhat dangerous places. There's a lot of loud noises, saws. It's not easy to run a cooperage safely. And so we've implemented a lot of improvements here with the goal of making this a very safe place to work. That's where a lot of our robotics come in. So instead of having people handling large, heavy barrels, we're able to do that with robots, allowing the humans to work safely around them on the jobs that require, you know, human eye and human skill. We're also using it in order to improve quality. We pride ourselves on having an exceptionally high-quality barrel, and we're able to do that because we're able to use technology as well as the human craftsmanship and the human skill to make the most precise staves on the planet. So, for example, we're using CNC technology, like you'd see in a precision metalworking factory that we imported from France to make our staves for the barrel. We're using a lot of precision toasting and charring technology. So you mentioned the infrared toast. The infrared toast we're not the first people to use that, but we believe so strongly in the power of toast to make a high-quality whiskey barrel that we've incorporated that into our process. And the reason we've used infrared is because it allows us not only to experiment with a wider variety of toasting, you know, wavelengths that we can penetrate lighter or deeper into the wood, but also it gives us the ability to replicate recipes time after time after time, which we know is a challenge to do using a wood fire. And so that's something that we really pride ourselves in, and we offer that to our distillers at no extra cost, because we believe that it's such an amazing value add to those people that we just want to give it to them and let them try it. We know that once they've tried it, they're going to want to come back.
So I bet they do come back too, because it seems to me like that would be a nice way to control the quality of the barrel and therefore the quality of the whiskey that comes out of it.
Absolutely. The toasting is interesting because most people understand that a whiskey barrel is charred and frequently know that a wine barrel is toasted. But there's this new wave coming in now of toasting and then charring your barrel. And it gives you the ability to play around with a wider array of flavors. It allows you to create more flavorful extractives in the barrel that can be extracted out into the spirit sooner and with more intensity. And so we really, we see that there's a strong interest in toasting, and our ability to dial in the toast to what a customer wants and then to replicate that time and time again, it's definitely making some waves. And then on top of that, we've implemented some improvements to our charring system. If you go into a traditional cooperage, a lot of times fire is the most exciting part of the show. You see the fire in the barrels. That's a pretty common sight to see. You won't see that here. Our barrels are loaded horizontally into a charring booth enclosed in a room within our cooperage. And this allows us to very precisely control the pressure, the air-gas ratio, the temperature inside of those barrels. So we can char them consistently as well. And that's something that we know distillers want. If you're ordering a number four char, you want to be able to get a number four char every single barrel. And that's what we're really working towards here, is trying to provide distillers with that consistency that lets them focus more on being able to intentionally create complexity in their spirit rather than having it be delivered by chance.
It almost sounds to me like you've adopted, you've stolen a book from Marriott, because one of their, the hotel people, because one of their big points is that the guest experience should be very consistent from hotel to hotel to hotel. And I've heard you talk about consistency repeatedly here. So it sounds to me like you've sort of stolen a note from their playbook. Obviously, different industries and different processes, but still that emphasis on consistency and the customer being able to get what he wants every time without having to worry about variations would seem to me to be a big selling point for you.
Absolutely. My background, I started out in my career as what's called a Six Sigma black belt. Six Sigma is a process improvement methodology that's in use at a large number of Fortune 500 companies. It's particularly applicable to manufacturing companies, and it uses statistical process control tools and problem-solving tools to reduce variation in processes. And the objective of Six Sigma is to remove variation at every step of the manufacturing process to develop quality, because we recognize that where you have variation, you're going to have inconsistency, and that inconsistency is going to result in defects. And so our goal is to work those out of the process at every step, and that's where we've implemented our technology. We have extremely highly trained employees, and we're using quality control metrics and systems to drive quality out of the process, drive quality into the process, and defects out at every step of the way. And a lot of that was also pioneered at GE and Toyota. Toyota is a model that I think is very akin to what we're doing here. They've managed to create an incredibly high quality product and consistent product at a very reasonable price. And we pride ourselves on being able to offer a barrel on the mass market that's very affordable, that's still incredibly high quality. And in addition to that, we also offer premium barrels using aged wood that's aged longer, up to 24 months. And we also offer a number of specialty options that allow people to customize their product as well. But ultimately our goal is to bring technologies like Toast and bring quality and consistency to the mass market, to the distillers who have not been able to achieve that in the past.
So talk to me a little bit about your market. Is it to what extent is it people who are basically craft distillers as versus the mass production distillers, the Jim Beams or the Brown Foremans? Brown Foreman, we know, has their own cooperage, but, they're a good example anyway.
Yeah, well, we actually have a pretty wide variety from all facets of the market. We work with a lot of contract distillers who kind of satisfy the middle point on the market. And then we work with a number of craft distilleries all over the world. In Japan and China, in Scotland and Ireland, in all over America, even in other countries like Belgium. And so we're really one of the things we pride ourselves on is our willingness and our ability to work with anyone who wants to buy barrels from us, regardless of whether they're buying one barrel or 1,000. Our technology gives us the tools to rapidly change over from one distiller's formula to another. And so we can do that without introducing variation or time into the process. And so we're eager to work with craft distilleries, no matter how small, because we love that innovation, that ability to work with people developing a unique new product. And we're happy to do it, and we love to do it, and we're able to offer some very good prices to those companies as well.
So you've talked about prices a couple of times. Give me an idea of what a barrel costs.
Well, it just depends on the volume. And, our prices are really competitive with the other major cooperages in the country. Mm-hmm. A typical barrel is less than $200, but it can go up above that if you wanted to order, you know, for example, 18-month wood. Our standard barrel with 6-month air-dried wood is less than that. But we always, you know, we're constantly monitoring the pricing in the market, and
sure,
our goal is to stay very competitive there. And so, like I said, because we've implemented technology effectively here, we're able to really compete at scale, but also to create you know, unique bespoke barrels for all of our customers without adding a lot of cost.
Now it strikes me that for the guys who started this cooperage, that it must have required an awful lot of money. How did they get it? Did they kick it in from their own pockets? Did they go out and raise money, or what was? Are you able to talk about that process?
Yeah, I can give you kind of the big picture. You know, so we did raise an enormous amount of capital from private investors. And like I said, many of these investors were interested in just trying to build this this wonderful organization to help create jobs in this community. And that's what really motivated a lot of them to do this. We were also able to secure some money, you know, through government grants, which has been very helpful. And, you know, there's still just a tremendous willingness to and you know, desire among people who know about this to become a part of it, because they see what's happening. They see the energy that's being created here and the excitement that's being created amongst our customers, and they, you know, they see where this is going. So it's been very helpful to have such a wonderful group of investors. They've been very supportive. You know, as we've gone through some challenging and unique times during COVID here, they've all been very supportive every step of the way.
So since you mentioned COVID, how have you had to deal with COVID? What sort of a challenge has that presented to you?
Well, thankfully, here we're pretty well insulated from the major effects of COVID. Early on, during the very early phases, you know, we did end up shutting down for a short period of time, and we've been up and running since then. And so, what's great is that we're in a small community here. Just a few thousand people, and it's pretty well spread out. West Virginia kind of naturally tends to break up community center or population centers with all the mountains. And so we haven't had a tremendous number of COVID cases in our region, and thankfully none in our company. You know, and so we're very cautious about it. We are very proactive in terms of, you know, the level of PPE and social distancing that we require in the plant. But that's another area where, frankly, you know, our technology gives us the ability to work even more safely in this environment, because we don't have as many people working right on top of each other. People are able to naturally spread out and still do their jobs. And so that's very helpful.
Yeah, in fact, it almost strikes me, and I know nothing about the cooperage business except talking to you, but it almost strikes me that that's a situation where they're almost naturally spread out anyway, just given the production process.
Yeah, it's, you know, barrels these days are made in something of an assembly line fashion for the most part, and so there's different workstations that are spread out, you know, throughout the building. And cooperages, because of their nature, they require a lot of ventilation. So that definitely helps us. But we have a tremendous amount of ventilation in our building. You know, our work cells are spread out enough that, you know, people are normally 6 feet apart or more. Despite that, you know, we still are wearing masks. We're still doing temperature checks and doing whatever we can to make sure that we, you know, we're as safe and as proactive as possible on this.
Great. Now, tell me, I'm assuming that you have the capability to handle more volume than you're currently doing. Am I right about that?
Sure. We're still growing, you know, and I think we will be for a little while here. We're trying to grow in a very controlled manner. You know, we know the risks of growing too fast, and so we have a very great group of customers. We're bringing on new customers every day. But we're making sure that we grow in a manner that's going to make sure we have the right, you know, amount of wood for all of our customers as we grow. We don't want to risk running out of wood. You know, we don't want to absolutely do not want to ever jeopardize quality in the pursuit of production. And so, that's something that we're very focused on, is making sure that before we before we grow again, before we take another step, we have quality and we have safety down so that when we do grow, when we reach that next tier of production, we're never having to even risk sacrificing those.
That sounds really good. Now tell me this. You hired local workers. To what extent were they able to come in and just start working on the first day versus how much training have you had to do with people from the community that you're in? And I presume most of your workers do come from that one community.
Absolutely, yeah. Most of our workers come from this area here. And it's a fairly spread out area. Again, West Virginia is a pretty spread out place. And so we've recruited from within the county and surrounding counties. But the amount of on-the-job training here, it varies quite a bit depending on what job the person is doing. So for the most part, it takes a couple weeks to onboard someone. It's a pretty in-depth training process just to get them to the point where they can operate a machine on their own. And even then, it's a longer process of really mastering the equipment. And then there's certain jobs that require a lot longer degree of training and experience to get good at. For example, grading wood is a major part of this process. As wood comes into the facility, it has to be inspected for defects, and many of those defects can be repaired. For example, if there's a knot on one side of the board, it can be ripped off using a saw, and then it'll make a perfectly good board that's just a little narrower. And so those defects have to be spotted, though, in order to avoid them getting into the barrel and then having to be repaired or replaced later on. And so those processes require someone with a very keen eye. There's a little bit of natural skill there, but there's also a lot of training. And that's a job that months, even years of training are necessary to really create someone who's an expert at it. And so we've hired some people with experience, with pre-existing experience to assist us in those locations, and we're training people as well. Our goal is to just continually be training people and continually be improving at every step of the process.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an organized system for most new workers where they come in and they start at a basic working level and they move up to the more advanced stuff, or do you just initially hire them straight in to operate one of the robots, for instance?
Yeah, so we bring people in, and it kind of depends on the area, but for the most part, they'll come in and they'll start off on kind of a training program where they'll be mentored for a while. They might work on some of the less demanding equipment, some of the simpler equipment for a while, and then eventually they'll, as we see where their natural talents lie and where their interests lie, we'll shift them over to a working position where they can begin to grow their career. And at that point, there'll be plenty of opportunities for cross-training as well. But it's, like I said, it's a long process of really bringing someone in and having them become an expert on the process. They can start off fairly quickly in a few positions, but there's a lot of positions that require a combination of technical knowledge and skill that takes just time to develop.
I have to tell you, looking at the pictures of the operations in your cooperage, it's really quite impressive to me. It's nothing like I would have imagined at all. I mean, I'm looking right now at one that's got this giant robot handling a barrel, and it just looks really awesome.
Uh-huh.
None of this old manual stuff where some guy's heaving it around and with his huge muscles, but instead he's it's impressive to me to see that. So it looks really good, and your place looks like it's loaded with that sort of equipment. So that's really good. You've talked about that consistently and how that builds up your quality of your product. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What was your background? Had you worked in cooperages before, and so on?
Sure. Well, I kind of took a convoluted route to get here, I think it's fairly common in this industry. But I grew up in Wichita, Kansas, and got a degree from Kansas State University in computer science, and wasn't really sure exactly what I wanted to do with that. But I started working for a company in Southeast Missouri, Tamco Building Products, which is a national building products company. And they put me into the Six Sigma program. And that's where I really began to gain experience with process control and process improvement. And Six Sigma really opened my eyes to a lot of things. And it really is an amazing program. It's a great program for developing young leaders, but it's a great program as well for teaching people how to understand quality and how to really develop it. After a few years of that, I came out to the East Coast and ran a greenfield manufacturing plant in the eastern panhandle of West Virginia, and spent about 9 years there. And then eventually, I heard about this cooperage being constructed down here. And at the time, I was very interested in distilling and was considering going into that industry in some fashion. Done some distilling myself and had a real interest in it. And I saw the cooperage and wanted to check it out. And so I actually around that same time, a recruiter got in touch with me just kind of canvassing. And I went down, took a look, and really fell in love with the passion of the founders and the mission that they had. For me, what I think is so great about this is it gives me an opportunity to marry my two passions of manufacturing and the whiskey industry. You know, we get to apply the same techniques that, you know, are applied in Fortune 500 manufacturing companies towards making a product that's frankly just awesome. It's a lot of fun. You get to be a part of the creation of just some amazing whiskey brands. It's a fun industry. And so to be able to bring some of the skill set and some of the tools that I'd learned throughout my career into this industry has just been wonderful for me. And I'm really glad to be able to help, you know, pass those skills along to the team here and see what we can do with them. Because I think what we're doing is pretty special, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Great. Are you currently hiring more people? And if so, what skill sets are you looking for?
Yeah, well, we're always, we're always looking for people. Just, as we find great people, we want to bring them on board in some fashion. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're fairly well staffed up. And so we'll be probably hiring in a few more rounds as we continue to grow. Over the next few months, but we've had a really overwhelming response from the community. As I mentioned earlier, when we first posted the jobs for the cooperage, for the first 20 jobs, we had 1,200 applications.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. And as you can imagine, going through those it took some serious time and energy. But we wanted to make sure that we picked the best of the best, and I think we got it. I mean, the team we have created here is just truly phenomenal. And so, as we grow, we're going to bring on some new people, but, we're always going to be able to uphold that high standard. We've got an amazing and relatively undiscovered tool of talent down here in southern West Virginia that most people, I think, just don't know about.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, it's absolutely fabulous. What's the background of your typical worker, if you can pull all that together?
No, absolutely. There's a few kind of like key backgrounds. This is an area that's known for a couple things primarily, mining and logging. You know, natural resource extraction has been mm-hmm. in the history of West Virginia for as long as anyone can remember. And so we've been able to find some really stellar candidates coming out of both industries. Obviously, the timber side of the business, the flooring mills and those other the other wood mills in the area, it brings with it a level of experience with wood that's incredibly beneficial. And so we've hired some people out of those, and they've been able to jump in on some of the more skilled jobs right away. But the mining industry employs a lot of people that work in very technically advanced, applications, and they're very concerned with safety and very concerned with quality. And so, it's been great to meet a lot of them as well.
That's absolutely terrific. And you mentioned the mining industry, so it strikes me that we've been reading all the time about the decline of the coal business in recent years, and it strikes me that your business is sort of going to be helping those some of those workers be able to land in new environments that may in fact be safer than coal mining, which we all know is a fairly dangerous business.
Absolutely. And, you know, we pride ourselves on safety here, and I think it's a good transition. But, you know, one thing that's interesting about the coal industry is that, you know, like I said, natural resource extraction has been a part of the history of this area for many, many years. And for the most part, those materials were taken and harvested by people that did have to work in those dangerous jobs, the jobs that weren't glamorous, the jobs that didn't necessarily pay well. And then they were shipped out of state where they were refined further and where the value was really added. And now we have an opportunity to, you know, we work with loggers here. We have our own sawmill. But now we have an opportunity here to not just cut and saw logs, but actually to make the full finished product and then ship it out of state, capturing all the value here. It was pretty cool to see container loads of barrels going to China. You know, here we are making a product from natural resources harvested just down the road. Everything was built here using local labor, and we're shipping it over to China, and we've shipped to Japan, and as I said, other points overseas. So not only are these people coming in with skill sets that, you know, are already developed or are able to learn a new skill set here, but now that they're, you know, they're coming into an industry where they can actually add the final step of value in their home state, in their community, and see all that wealth captured here, where it can benefit a lot more than just our employees, but the whole area.
Right. That must be very exciting to your staff there.
I think everyone's excited about it. And, you know, like I said, we've just got a great team. People, they love what they're doing. It's always a good day when you can wake up and go make whiskey barrels for a living, you know. So it's really great to see, and it's great to see the enthusiasm of everyone here.
That's great. And by the way, if you haven't written that quote down, you better, because I think that's a great ad for you. It's always a great day when you wake up and make whiskey barrels. That's absolutely fabulous. Rebecca will help you with that very soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, I got it
already. All right. So that's good. Well, I wonder if there's anything that we have not covered that you would like us to cover.
Well, you know, I think you covered a lot. I really think that one other thing I'd mention is just that our goals are not just making the best whiskey barrel, you know, that we could possibly make, but also we're really focused on trying to improve transparency and education around how barrels are made and how we're doing it. And that's something that we're very eager to share with our customers. I think that our customers would say that we're more open with, you know, our technology and the specifics of how we do things. And we want to be able to share that with more and more people. So we've got a lot of postings that we've already put out on social media that go into detail on our technology. Please take a look at that. But we're always you know, we're always writing articles, and you'll find a lot of those in other trade magazines. We're also, you know, we're also interested in anyone who's willing to talk to us about how they can make better whiskey using our product, or how we can help them, you know, continue to make very good whiskey on a more consistent basis. So that's what we're excited about. That's what motivates us. And we just want to continue to share with everyone out there.
That's absolutely terrific. One final question, perhaps. Do you have any idea of what the capital investment into your facility is? I mean, it looks to me like all these robots ought to make it a pretty expensive place to build and get started with.
It's more than $40 million. And
wow.
Like I said, it's when you start in the cooperage business, you can't easily do it on a very small scale. Once you decide to go, you know, with a safe, technologically sophisticated route, there's just no easy way to do it without spending a lot of money. And so for us, that started with our sawmill, our stave mill, down in Monroe County, just south of here. We've got a great team down there, and that plant was actually built for the cooperage because we needed a supply of aged staves in order to make barrels. So that alone was a huge investment. And then One other aspect of this industry is that you've got a tremendous amount of capital tied up in logs. And so that's something we always have to be replenishing, always have to be growing as we grow and in advance as we grow. So thankfully, like I said, we've got a wonderful group of investors that are so passionate and so dedicated to this community and to this business that they were willing to put up that money and allow us to grow and allow us to build such a state-of-the-art facility.
Terrific. Can you describe those investors a little bit? I mean, are they local businessmen or are they people from Wheeling and Charleston, or are they from around the country, or where do they round up these guys?
Yeah, I mean, they're really from around the country. We have some wonderful people. Most of them have a connection to this community. Either they have a home here, they live here. There's a lot of connection to the Greenbrier. And really, it's the pool of people who, after the flood, came together to really rebuild the community, to do what they could for it. Many of them weren't from here. Many of them only came here, for part of the year. But they had really adopted this place as their own and took a lot of pride in it and took a lot of responsibility for it. And so there's a diverse array of backgrounds. We have, CEOs, current and former CEOs, architects, distillers, you name it. You know, there's a lot of interesting people involved in this project. The one thing they all share is a love for this community and a desire to, do what they can to help us make absolutely the best barrels that we could possibly be making.
Well, that's absolutely terrific, and it sounds to me like they've succeeded in helping the community a lot, and I'm sure, Brett, as we go on a little bit further, they will continue to help, and they'll start to reap the benefits of that help, too. But being able to build a new facility to employ 100 or more than 100 people, being able to capture the wealth and that comes from having the finished product as versus shipping the basic material somewhere else and then letting them process it, just strikes me as a wonderful, wonderful way to operate a business, and I'm so glad that you all have been able to do that. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Well, they can go to our website. That's WVGBC, as in West Virginia Great Barrel Company, .com, and that would be the best place to start. We've got contact information for how to get in touch with us for sales or information, and we're always looking for new customers or people who want to try something different.
Great. So thank you so much, Brett, for your time. We appreciate it, and we wish the West Virginia Great Barrel Company a lot of success in the future, and I'm sure you will have that, and I'm sure that you're pulling for the success of the alcoholic beverage business just like all the rest of us are. So congratulations to you and your team.
Absolutely.
All righty. Well, you take care. Have a great day. Thank you again for your time, and good luck to you.